was present at the Food Babe's lecture at the University of Florida. And I guess the Food Babe didn't need any plastic surgery yet. That's why she calls herself the Babe. She is indeed pretty good looking, but what she says is not so good. You're listening to the Dr. Joe Show, CJD, Newstalk 800, Radio in Montreal. Stay with us.
Your source when you need answers. The Dr. Joe Show on CJAD 800.
I'm joined by Dr. Ari Benchetrit, Montreal plastic surgeon. And I thought it would be interesting to try to bring our listeners up to date on what is happening in the world of aesthetic plastic surgery, because there certainly are all kinds of new developments. But the one I would like to start with is the notion of cool sculpting. In North America, of course, we do have an epidemic of obesity. About 40% of the public is overweight. We don't see it quite that bad here in the Montreal area, but it is tragic in many, many parts of North America. And people, of course, will resort to absolutely everything in order to try to lose weight. And most of the time, of course, it doesn't work. But there is a technique that is relatively novel called cool sculpting, which is carried out by physicians, mostly plastic surgeons, which actually does work. So I asked Dr. Benchetrit to join us to begin by bringing us up to date on exactly what cool sculpting is. So, Ari, what is cool sculpting?
Hi, Joe. Well, cool sculpting is using a principle that was discovered about 40 years ago that shows that fat cells are much more sensitive to cold than the other structures of the body, including the skin and the connective tissue and nerves. There was an article written in the medical literature about 40 years ago that noted that little children who ate a lot of popsicles would develop atrophy or caving in of their cheeks. And this was studied further, and it was described as popsicle paniculitis. So paniculitis basically means inflammation of the fat. And what they discovered was that these kids who were eating a lot of popsicles were basically damaging their fat cells from the cold that was transmitted from the popsicle into their cheek, and the fat cells were dying, and that's what was causing the caving in of the cheek. So this principle was studied further, and about 10 years ago, a couple of very smart scientists at Harvard took the principle further and developed a technology called cryolipolysis, which basically uses this principle of the fat cells being sensitive to cold to kill unwanted fat cells, particularly in unwanted bulges like love handles, the tummy, thighs, etc. And they started up a company called Zeltiq, which developed the first cool sculpting device, which was FDA approved in 2010 for the use, for the destruction of unwanted fat around the midsection. So this cool sculpting device has now been on the market for about 4 years in the U.S. and for 2 years in Canada, and is probably the most successful and certainly the most effective of what we call non-invasive body sculpting technologies. In other words, a non-surgical way of getting rid of unwanted fat.
So what do you actually do?
So basically the patient comes in, we assess them for the, you know, to see if they're good candidates for this procedure. This is not a weight loss procedure. None of these techniques is, including liposuction. It's not for people who need to lose 30 or 40 pounds. It's basically for patients who, you know, are pretty close to their goal weight but have these bulges that just refuse to go away. No matter how much they diet or exercise, especially once you get to about the age of 40, it's very difficult to get rid of certain bulges. So these are the ideal candidates. Those are, you know, that are fairly close to their goal weight. They come in, they have these fat, you know, love handles or muffin tops on the tummy or saddlebags, and they want to get rid of them. We assess them. We talk to them about the surgical options because liposuction is still the best option for removing unwanted fat. But many of these patients simply don't want surgery of any kind. So then we see if they're good candidates for the cool sculpting device. If they are, we obviously describe it to them. We mark them. And basically the procedure itself is very simple. The patient lies down. We take the hand piece of the device, which looks like a giant suction cup, and we apply it to the bulge, the love handle, for example. It literally sucks the love handle into this cup. And within that suction cup, there are two electrodes, and basically a current is passed through the electrodes that creates cold down to a specific temperature. And using patented technology, which unfortunately I'm not privy to. This cold is transmitted into the fat cells, but sparing the skin and the other tissues to just the right temperature to kill the fat cells, but not to damage the other tissues. And the patient basically lies there for an hour with their iPad or their book. It's very comfortable. They read, and we actually have a little pager that signals when the hour is up. The treatment takes an hour. And after an hour, we remove the suction cup, massage the area a little bit, and that's it. The patient is free to go, and they can get right back into their usual activities, work, with absolutely no downtime.
And can you see a difference right away?
No, what you see right away is what we call the stick of butter look. It really looks like a stick of butter. It's very cold, numb skin with the fat underneath that's been literally frozen. It's an odd feeling. So we massage that out for about 10 minutes, and then other than the numbness, it looks fine after that. You don't notice an immediate result because the cells die through a process called apoptosis, which is basically slow cell death. And you start seeing the results about 3 or 4 weeks after the treatment, and you get the maximum result about 2 months after the treatment when the maximum number of fat cells have died.
So there's no cold liquid or anything flowing through the suction cup. I'm intrigued by how the cold is achieved.
No, it's two electrodes, basically metal plates. There's also a gel pad that's applied first, so that the metal plates don't actually touch the skin. And again, I'm not an engineer, and unfortunately, I did not participate in the development of this technology. I wish I had. So I couldn't tell you the technical details of how it's done, but they've managed to figure out the exact way to transmit this cold into the fat cell without damaging the other tissues.
And I assume that there's essentially no risk with this procedure.
There's very little risk. There's certainly no serious risk. The only risk is bruising, which is temporary, prolonged numbness. Some patients do have what we call delayed discomfort. There's no pain during the treatment. There's a little bit of pain when we take the suction cup off. It feels a bit like frostbite, but it lasts about 5 or 10 minutes. Some patients a week after the treatment will complain of an odd, what we call a neuralgic sort of pain, a nerve pain, especially when we treat the tummy area, but it's a fairly small percentage of patients. But that's about it. Otherwise, we've had no complications or significant side effects.
Now, turning to liposuction, how much more effective would liposuction be in removing fat?
Liposuction is the gold standard. With liposuction, you actually see the fat being removed. And at the end of the case, it's in a jar and it's right there in front of you. So you know exactly what you've removed, and there's no question that it's out of the body. And so with lipos, you can be as aggressive as you like. You can remove as much fat as you like. In fact, one of the risks of lipo is removing too much fat and leaving a concavity or an irregularity behind, which you don't get with the non-invasive techniques. So lipo always works, and the fat is always gone, and everybody responds to lipo. So the problem is that, even though lipo is an extremely popular procedure, there were over 300,000 patients in North America last year that had liposuction. It's still at the tip of the iceberg in terms of the number of people who want to lose their fat. It's a lot of people just don't like the idea of surgery, of anesthesia, recovery time, discomfort, having to take medication. So, these are the people who would normally never show up at a plastic surgeon's office. But since the advent of these non-surgical technologies, a lot of these people are coming out of the woodwork, so to speak, and coming forward to have these treatments because of the absence of downtime, the minimal side effects, and the consistent results.
Well, talking about non-surgical techniques, I want to ask you a couple of other things about all the new anti-aging regimens that are out there.
Yes.
But we've got to take a bit of a break. You're listening to the Dr. Joe Show, CJD Newstalk 800 in Montreal. We'll be right back.
Life's everyday mystery solved. The Dr. Joe Show on CJAD 800.
My guest today is Dr. Ari Benchetrit, Montreal plastic surgeon who specializes in aesthetics. And we were chatting about liposuction and other non-surgical ways of removing fat. But anti-aging regimens, very popular. You pick up any magazine and there'll be all kinds of creams advertised, guaranteed to remove your wrinkles and turn back the clock.
Right.
So, Ari, do any of them work?
Very few. None of them turn back the clock significantly. Some of them actually do have an effect on fine lines and skin discoloration, blemishes, sunspots, things like that. But the problem is a lot of these creams that claim to have these, you know, fantastic ingredients like DNA and collagen and these wonderful molecules. The problem is the skin is a fantastic barrier. It has what's called the epidermal barrier, or the epidermis, which basically doesn't allow anything in. It's very tough to get through that barrier, which is a good thing for us. Otherwise, you know, bacteria and viruses would be entering our body all day long. But the same barrier keeps out most of these wonderful ingredients. So you buy this very expensive cream with DNA or collagen in it, you apply it, and those ingredients just sit on top of your skin. They never actually penetrate. So there are some ingredients that will and penetrate that epidermal barrier and do have an effect on the dermis, which is the second layer of the skin, the deeper layer of skin, which is where you want the ingredients to get to, because that's where the skin is, that's where the aging happens. When skin ages, the dermis gets thin, it loses its collagen, it becomes more lax. So that's where you want the ingredients to get to. And so the ones that do get there are vitamin C, glycolic acids like salicylic acid, for example, and the retinoids like Retin A and the derivatives like Renova and some of these other creams. So those do penetrate, and they do have an effect, a minimal effect, I would call it, on fine lines, particularly around the eyes. But, you know, again, it's not dramatic.
Yeah, what I find with these things, because, I look at the journal articles where they have the pictures, and obviously they select the best possible pictures whenever. And even when you look at that, I mean, you say, yeah, there is a difference. You almost have to look with a magnifying glass. But is that a difference that someone would notice if a person who's been using this cream walks into the room? Would anyone else notice that?
It depends how closely they look. So, you know, you might get a response like, you're looking good, you're looking rested, but it's not going to be a wow, you know, what happened to your skin sort of, you know, reaction. It's just too subtle of a result. And if you look at those pictures, unfortunately, a lot of them, especially the less ethical companies, you'll notice that the before picture is taken without a flash and the after picture is taken with a flash. And so the actual effect is the flash, it's not the cream. Mm-hmm. So you have to be very careful when you look at these before and after pictures. But no, unfortunately, there's no miracle cream out there. However, they're working on it, and there definitely is some hope. There is a small company in California that's working on a transport mechanism that actually will carry large molecules through the skin. And in fact, one of the first molecules they're working on is Botox. They're trying to figure out how to attach the Botox molecule, which is botulinum toxin, to this new transport mechanism and carry it through the skin to the muscle. So in theory, if this all works, and they're, from what I know, they're now in advanced clinical studies of this product, we may have a Botox cream that actually works sometime down the line, so you don't have to inject the Botox. So,
well, talking about Botox, which is a wildly popular procedure, what's the risk?
The risk with Botox?
Yeah.
The biggest risk is that if it's poorly injected by a non-experienced practitioner, you can cause some unwanted effects, particularly a dropped eyebrow or a droopy lid, and that's the most significant risk. And the great thing about Botox is that it's a temporary product, and so no matter how bad things turn out, it's only going to last for a few weeks, and so those unwanted effects go away fairly quickly. But that's the biggest risk. Some of my patients will get a small pain or ache around the injection sites, but that usually only lasts a few minutes. Other than that, there's really no significant side effect with Botox.
What's the most sought after aesthetic procedure? Is it a facelift?
The number one surgical procedure in North America last year was liposuction, followed closely by breast augmentation.
How difficult is that, breast augmentation?
For the patient or for the surgeon?
For the surgeon.
For the surgeon, for an experienced surgeon, it's not a particularly difficult surgery. What's difficult in breast augmentation is patient selection, selecting the right implant and the right procedure for the right patient, and that takes a lot of experience. You often see some, let's say, not so nice results, particularly in some magazines that we may have all looked at, And a lot of the time, it's just poor selection. The patient or the surgeon chose the wrong implant for that patient. And those are the patients where you know they have implants. They just stand out. If it's done well and the implant is properly selected, it should look completely natural. And that's what most patients want.
Now, I understand that these days, very often after breast cancer surgery, you do the reconstruction like right away?
Yes, that's recommended. Unfortunately, it's still a small minority of patients that are offered this procedure for a lot of reasons that really don't have anything to do with the standard of care that we should be offering these patients. But in an ideal situation, a woman who has to have a mastectomy should have the full discussion with her surgeon who will be removing the cancer and hopefully a plastic surgeon who will offer her the various reconstructive options, the best of which is immediate reconstruction.
So tell me, what else is in the offing in aesthetic surgery?
Boy, there's a lot of stuff. So on the technology side, there's these incredibly new robots that are being used now in surgery. I mean, we use them in fields other than plastic surgery, like the Da Vinci robot to do robotic surgery. These robots are now being used for microsurgery, which is just amazing. There's a new robot for hair transplantation called the ARTAS device, which is really an amazing thing when you see it work. You literally sit under this thing, and this is right out of science fiction. The robot literally picks the hairs out from the donor area in the back of the scalp and will make the little holes where you want the hairs to go. Excuse me. And the newest version of this robot will actually implant the little hairs in these holes. So the whole thing can be done without human hands, actually touching the patient, all done by this robot in a very precise and almost painless way. And the great thing about this technique is it doesn't leave the telltale scar that the old-fashioned techniques of hair transplantations did.
Gee, you guys are going to be put out of work by the robots.
Yes, well, we're not quite. I think we still have a few years left, but it's getting to that point.
What is the most difficult type of surgery in plastics?
The most difficult? I think the most difficult thing in my field in cosmetic plastic surgery is setting patient expectations. Plastic surgeons, for better or for worse, have developed this reputation almost as magicians, like we can do almost anything, but we can't. We are limited by many things, including the patient's existing anatomy. And so the most difficult thing in my field is when I do a consultation with a patient is making sure they understand the limitations of what I can do, that I can't do anything I want or anything the patient wants. And now in the internet age, with a lot of these new sort of Photoshop type programs where patients can literally go online and do their own pseudo surgery on their own picture, they can come out with results that are unobtainable in real life. And so sometimes it's difficult to get the patient to accept that there are limitations to what we can do.
But I know that with you, they're in good hands.
I think they are, yes.
Well, Ari, thanks very much for all that. I love the story about the popsicles generating the idea for the cool sculpting. It's such a great story. It's one of those that's almost too good to check.
it sounds far-fetched, but it's actually true.
It's a great story. Yeah. So thanks a lot, and all the best with cool sculpting.
Thank you.
Dr. Ari Benchetrit, a Montreal plastic surgeon. And do you want to give your website? Or?
Sure. It's an easy one. It's www.plasticsurgerymontreal.com.
There we go. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Doctor.
And good sculpting to you.
Thank you very much.
Bye. We'll be right back with my next guest, Dr. Kevin Folta, and we're going to talk Food Babe. Stay with us.
Science you can use. The Dr. Joe Show on CJAD 800.
I think just about everyone who listens to this.